Morning Checkers with Chase McKay.
Checkered flag is in the air.
Oh, yeah!
Woo! Racing lives here. Your sports live here.
All right, boys, let's do this.
On the Game Nashville Sports Network.
And hello once again. Welcome into Chasing Checkers here on the Game Nashville Sports Network, 102.5 The Game on YouTube at Chasing Checkers Radio. And of course, the 102.5 The Game YouTube page as well. You could subscribe to the podcast. We would greatly appreciate it. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. But excited to be here. Thanks so much for joining us once again. We got a big show planned. Connor Zilich, rookie sensation in the NASCAR Cup Series, is going to join the show, as is Michael Waltrip. You probably could have heard that on the Chase and Big Joe show, but we will have that for you here on Chasing Checkers as well, as Mikey, as he's affectionately known, is doing some cool stuff in Nashville that we want to tell you about. Plus, we'll talk some racing with him. So looking forward to that. But we start things off with Watkins Glen earlier than usual this year, as usually that is a race that finds itself in August, but that was not the case this year. And who else but the road racing expert Shane Van Gisbergen? He is the one that gets the win, and he does it in such a dominating fashion. As the late pit stop happens, he's 29 seconds back of the lead and ultimately comes back and wins the race. Here's SVG talking about the whole process.
Yeah, they were kind of giving me lap times, which didn't mean much. So I asked for like the gap and then how many laps to go out of turn one every lap. And once Josh started giving me that info, it was awesome. Every lap I knew sort of how much I was gaining and how to manage my tires versus how many laps I had. And it was a pretty cool feeling, you know. At first, I think it was 27 seconds, 20 laps. So I was a bit worried. And then, you know, their tires weren't going to get any newer, I guess. And once they fell off into the 75, 76s, it was a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, what is that feeling when you're taking 3 seconds chunks out of their time?
It's definitely better than the end of that first stint in stage three. I felt like I didn't really know how the race was going to play out, thinking they might make it to the end and how much they were going to fall off, and my tires were starting to go off. So, yeah, it was a bit of uncertainty, but Stephen was always confident in his calls, and it was really cool. You know, I just drove what I did, didn't question or just believed in everything they did. And yeah, it was a good team strategy day. It was awesome.
SVG on the day. And look, it was fun to watch. I was locked in to, you know, the last 30 laps or so of that race, watching him make that comeback. And so SVG gets the win. You can see the results here on your screen. Michael McDowell, nice run for him, as he comes in second, led 5 laps on the day. Now SVG led 74, so obviously did a really nice job there, getting 68 points. Ty Gibbs was third, Chase Briscoe fourth, Tyler Reddick, Austin Dillon, A.J. Allmendinger, Kyle Busch, Austin Cindric, and John Hunter Nemechek make the top 10. Some notables, Ryan Blaney just outside the top 10 in 11th. Denny Hamlin was 16th. On the day, Connor Zilich, who led, did lead some laps, or was up there competing for the lead, I should say, didn't lead some laps, but was up there competing for the lead, ends up in 20th. Christopher Bell was 21st. Chase Elliott was 24th. So some of the notables kind of back in the field, but, an unfortunate day, not able to come up with better finishes. The standings now after Watkins Glen: Tyler Reddick still the leader with 129 point lead over Denny Hamlin and 145 point lead over Chase Elliott. Now the win does put Shane Van Gisbergen into the top 16, which would make the chase. He's got about a 6-point advantage over Chase Briscoe, who falls just out of the top 16. So with this chase format, winning your end is gone, but it certainly helps by getting the max amount of points with a win. And he is certainly going to be in contention to make the playoffs with how he's running, but he's got to continue to evolve on when it comes to ovals. And, you know, he talked about he wants to earn his way in and likes that the winning end is gone.
Yeah. Like I really want to earn my way in this year, and that's what you have to do. And I felt like we've been hovering around that cut line, even though the last few races haven't been good and we didn't have an amazing coda. It's been cool to be majority ovals and still fighting to get into the chase. So it's been a pretty cool thing even to be struggling to be there. And I know that we need to get a lot better as a team, and myself, I still need to improve a lot as a driver. Still have so much to learn. So yeah, it's cool to be in that fight, knowing we can still improve so much, and hopefully we can do it.
I think you have seen him get better as time has gone on. He's not, I mean, he's the best road racer there is. There's no question. But I think you've seen him improve when it comes to the oval tracks as well. I mean, they are competitive. They're growing. And Justin Marks, the team owner, you know, talked about the continued growth with not only SVG, but the team as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been easy to see that we've certainly been behind this year. We've been working harder behind the scenes at this race team, I think, than we have ever in the history of this company right now. Because frankly, the way that we started this season is unacceptable to us. It's not up to the standards that we set for ourselves, and so there's just a lot of work that's been happening. And honestly, you know, I saw it start to change at Texas. I mean, all three of our cars had speed at Texas. I think, you know, if the one car doesn't speed on the last pit stop, he finishes about fifth or sixth. Connor and Shane, both points in the race, had to come from 30th and drive back up into the top 15, top 16. So, you know, that was good. This obviously is, you know, we've got three incredible road racers here and one that's sort of the best ever to do it. So it's some nice medicine at a time when, you know, we need a little shot in the arm. But you know, as far as translation, you know, it really just comes down to preparation and process. And no matter how good your race car drivers are, you have to prepare for these races on the road courses just as well as you prepare anywhere else. And I think for us, it's just like put a little air in the room for us while we kind of, you know, work through, you know, engineering the resurgence of our team. But I think we're starting to move in the right direction. Things can change very quickly in this sport. Seemed like in week four, you know, Toyota was going to win 36 races this year, and already that's starting to change a little bit. So there's some light at the end of the tunnel. We just got to keep our heads down, you know, enjoy today, but just get right back to the grind tomorrow morning.
And I think a lot of people have been impressed with Trackhouse and the growth that they've had, you know, since they came in to NASCAR. And it just shows you in, you know, the Chevys, Hendrick has kind of been down this year. So it shows you just how difficult it is to win in this sport. We've talked about it every week. And, you know, now with the young core that they have, Connor Zilich going to join here in a few minutes. I mean, he's one that, look, with the silly season rumors starting, we're going to get to those in just a second. His name's going to be attached to a lot of things. And if you're Justin Marks, you want to keep him in a Trackhouse race car because he is a tremendous talent. So they got a ways to go, but obviously they're growing and now finding themselves in victory lane this year. Some silly season notes that came out in The Athletic earlier this week, and I thought this was a really good article in The Athletic by Jordan Bianchi, and had a chance to read it. But here's a couple of the notes. Kyle Busch is obviously going to be somebody to watch. He believes that it looks like Busch is probably going to end up re-signing with Richard Childress Racing and staying there and signing an extension. What's interesting about that is, you know, Jesse Love is probably ready to come up to the Cup Series. So what happens there? He's with RCR in the O'Reilly Series. Could Austin Dillon end up getting out of the car? I don't know. But I think that's going to be interesting to watch because I felt this would be Busch's last year with RCR and then Jesse Love would move into that spot. But now indications are, and it's not done yet, but Busch could end up staying with Richard Childress Racing. So that's an interesting one and one to watch. Alex Bowman at Hendrick. This is a big one to me. Hasn't performed well. He's had the health issues. The contract is coming to an end at the end of the year. He won, you know, in his kind of early stretch there with Hendrick, but that hasn't happened since 2024 at Chicago in July. Non-factor last year. So what could happen there? That's where I would pay attention, because Rick has the resources that if he wanted to buy out Connor Zilich from Trackhouse and bring him into the 48 car at Hendrick, he could do it. Now, the good news for Alex Bowman is Ally supports him. They like him. You know, so maybe there could be a bridge deal. He could end up staying. And then when Zilich is a free agent, I think you'll see Hendrick try and pounce. But that's going to be an interesting one to watch. I know there were some rumors. People thought Kyle Busch could go and end his career where it started at Hendrick Motorsports. The article says that doesn't look likely at this point, and he's not really in the card. So the 48 car would be by far the best ride open if it became available. And so, you know, you could certainly see some names that aren't out there make the jump. There could be some guys from the O'Reilly series that can make the jump up to Cup in that car, but time will tell. But I would not be shocked if it does become available. Connor Zilich's name is going to be mentioned. RFK has the three drivers. They're all in a contract year, including Brad Keselowski, who is one of the owners of the team now. So that is certainly something to pay attention to. Could he get re-signed? And then Buescher and Ryan Preece, they got to get re-signed. And, oh, by the way, they still need the third charter because they're leasing it from Rick Ware Racing. And that is going to be done at the end of this year. He mentioned Spire. Things look decent there right now. But, you know, McDowell could be the odd man out. That could open a spot for Kyle Busch if he does leave RCR. That's one to watch. Riley Herbst looks to be leaving 2311. He's going to go to the third Legacy Motor Club car, the 84 that Jimmy Johnson drives part-time. Johnson's going to drive one more race in the Daytona 500 next year and then call it a career. That opens up a spot at 2311. We all know Corey Heim is going to move into that spot. So that's kind of where things sit with silly season right now, which is, you know, one of everybody's favorite times of year to kind of pay attention to. But I find it all interesting. So we will see what happens moving forward as the All-Star race is this weekend. Coming up next, I mentioned Connor Zilich. He's going to join the show. Really good conversation coming your way with him. That is all next here on Chasing Checkers. We are presented by the Nashville Super Speedway and the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. You can go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or call 866-RACE-TICKS to find tickets to both of those great events, with the Cracker Barrel 400 coming up at the end of this month, which I can't believe it is almost here. And then July 18th and 19th is when you can find the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. Connor Zilich coming up next here on Chasing Checkers, the Game Nashville Sports Network.
This is Chasing Checkers. Your sports live here on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe with you as always, and excited about our next guest. He had a win in the O'Reilly series, ran very well in the truck series, and ran well in the cup series until had some tire issues. Connor Zilich is on the line with us. Connor, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Chase. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I was rooting for you on Sunday because I thought you guys had a really good car. Obviously, your teammate Shane did as well, but had that tire issue with the locking up the front there. But I really thought you guys had a shot to win it.
Yeah, you know, we were really close. I that strategy, the way it played out in the last stage, we had to stretch our fuel. And, I flat spotted that right front early into that run, and it just kept finding that spot the entire rest of it. And eventually the right front gave out and basically ended our day. We ended up 20th because of it. But it took away what was going to be at worst a fourth place finish, and just upsetting because, you know, we needed a day like that to really get things turned around. And, obviously we've got a lot of great tracks for Trackhouse coming up ahead of us. That would have been a good day for us. And, it's really cool to see Shane win, though, get Trackhouse a win. This organization needed that, needed something to give us a turnaround, something to change the mood in the building, and that's a great way to do it.
Do you use these moments here in your rookie year as learning moments that you can take away of, you know, next time you're in that position, maybe you do something a little bit different?
Yeah, 100%. Every race, whether I win or I lose, I feel like I'm always learning. I'm, still very new to this. I'm young. If I'm not learning, I got issues.
Where does the road racing stuff come from? Because you've been good at that since you got into NASCAR.
Yeah, I grew up, you know, obviously a lot of NASCAR drivers grow up racing on dirt. They grow up racing on, you know, asphalt ovals. I grew up racing go-karts, you know, all across the world. And, you know, it's a different upbringing than, you know, a lot of the guys I'm racing against. But, you know, that's where my road course racing background comes from. I never raced on an oval until I was 15 years old. You know, things have really changed, and just it's cool to see kind of how different of an upbringing I have, but still being able to compete with all these guys that grew up racing on ovals. And then when we go to the road courses, obviously, I feel like I'm at home again.
Connor Zilich is with us here on Chasing Checkers. So Shane Van Gisbergen gets the win. Obviously, he's been very good on these road courses since entering the Cup Series. You guys have had some battles over the years in other series as well. What's it like having him as a teammate, but also a competitor?
Yeah, he's an awesome teammate to have. He, you know, I'm able to learn a lot from him. You know, he's having so much fun doing this NASCAR thing. And yeah, life really took a 180 for him when he came over and did that race at Chicago. And it's been cool to watch his progression and just see him get better and enjoy the process. I feel like we're in very similar positions, although he's twice my age almost or close to it. You know, we just connect well together. We relate on a lot of things and, you know, I'm able to learn a lot from him and his experience and his time behind the wheel. He's got a lot of years under his belt and has a very unique mindset that, you know, I'm able to learn a lot from.
What has this journey been like for you to this point? Because I've had this conversation with Christopher Bell, Chase Briscoe over the course of the last few weeks of it takes a while to win in the Cup Series. You have a lot of success, you know, coming up through the ranks and the trucks and the O'Reilly Series, but then you get to the Cup Series and it's very, very difficult to win. So has that tested your patience a little bit?
Yes and no. I, you know, obviously I'm very competitive. I love to win, but at the same time, I have to be realistic and understand that, you know, this is a whole new level of racing that I'm getting myself into. And, I knew that coming in. So, it hasn't shocked me by any means, but, I still want to go out and compete and win. And I'm eager to get things turned around, but, I can't be unrealistic with myself either. I have to know that, it's going to take time and that, you know, I can't just expect to win right out of the gate. And even though I want to, it's tough, but, I have to enjoy the process of it and enjoy the challenge and appreciate it.
How much did Dale Jr. and your time at Junior Motorsports help that?
Yeah, quite a bit. Dale, you know, he always has wisdom and always has, you know, great advice, and, getting to become friends with him has certainly been a huge factor for me. I go to him for questions and things that he can help me on all the time. And, you know, I always appreciate his side of the story and the way he sees things. So, yeah, he's a good mentor for me and a good friend as well.
Connor Zilich is on the line with us. Nashville Super Speedway coming up at the end of the month. It's a concrete racetrack. It's a little over a mile. It sometimes will race like a short track. What do you like about racing at Nashville?
Yeah, I enjoy Nashville. I enjoy concrete racetracks. You know, it's a cool place. I love Nashville, the town. So always good food, always good things to do in Nashville and fun things to do. So, yeah, Nashville's a really cool event. You know, you always get some crazy stars that come to the race. And I always enjoy seeing those people, you know, appreciate our sport for what it is. And, yeah, it's a unique racetrack with the fact that, you know, it's a little bigger, but it still kind of races like a short track. And, you know, I came very close to getting a guitar last year. I finished second in the O'Reilly race there. So hopefully I can get a guitar this time around.
Do you know how to play, or would you learn how to play?
I might learn how to play if I get a guitar. I don't have one, so that would give me a reason to learn how to play guitar.
Okay. I'm the track announcer, so if you win, you know, over the weekend, I can show you a few chords to get you started.
All right, that'll be good. I you know, I've seen YouTube videos, but, you know, I definitely would learn how to play guitar if I had one.
Oh, that would be fantastic. All-Star Race at Dover is another concrete track. That you know is coming up on the schedule. It's unique that it's going to be at Dover this year. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I definitely do think it's going to be a unique weekend. And, you know, Dover is has always been good to me. So I'm hoping we can lock in, make the show, and have a good run. And, you know, I always enjoy racing at the Monster Mile, another concrete track that we go to, and super high bank, high speed, high grip. It's one of a kind. So I'm looking forward to it.
You obviously want to race your way in, but the fact that you're right now, you're top five in the fan vote, that has to feel pretty good knowing that the fans have your back as well.
Yeah, it does. I, you know, if anybody's listening to this and wants to help me out, make sure you go to the NASCAR website and vote for me for the fan vote. But yeah, it's cool to have some support. Obviously, I'm still very new to this. So the fact that, you know, I'm even in the top five in my first year in the Cup Series is really cool. And I appreciate everybody who's been along this journey with me. And you know, hopefully I can get some wins and give us something to cheer for here soon.
Well, absolutely. And Connor, I mean, you're mature for your age, man. I know the wins are going to come. It's fun watching your journey. But thanks so much for doing this today. And we look forward to seeing you in about a month here in Nashville.
Thanks, Chase. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
And look, you can hear the maturity there. He's 19 years old and doesn't act like it. And the wins may not come this year. It may take a while. We've seen it take a while, but they certainly could. And if they do, he's going to have a lot of them in his career. That is for sure. We'll have more coming here on Chasing Checkers up next on 102.5 The Game.
Chasing Checkers is on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on 102.5 The Game. Appreciate Connor Zilich for joining the show. It's all presented by the Nashville Super Speedway Cracker Barrel 400 weekend coming up at the end of this month, May 29th through the 31st at the Nashville Super Speedway. Go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com to get your tickets or call 866-RACE-TIX. And also the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix, which will be at the Nashville Super Speedway July 18th and 19th. You can go to those same websites or call or go to MusicCityGP.com for all of that. I told you earlier in the show we're going to be joined by Michael Waltrip. He has partnered up with the Nashville Cats as a part of their ownership group and along with his Michael Waltrip Brewery and also, of course, with Fox Sports, former two-time Daytona 500 winner. He joined me on my daily show, the Chase and Big Joe Show, alongside Big Joe Dubin earlier this week, and it was fun, as always, to catch up with Mikey. Michael, how are you?
Hello, fellas. Everything is great on this end. How are y'all?
We're doing fantastic. I know you're excited to join the Nashville Cats as a part of their ownership group, you and Michael Waltrip Brewing, and we know a lot of the same people there, but that's really cool.
Well, you'll have to maybe make me a warm introduction to them all. I'm really happy that we're getting to do this. The beer is really getting some momentum, and then being a partner with the Cats and being able to have fun at the level that they do it, and just looking forward to having a cold beer with the Cats fans and looking forward to some arena football.
Well, and I know how much you love Nashville. Obviously, we pretty much claim Daryl now in Franklin. He's been here long enough that I think that you know, we can claim him as one of our own. But obviously, you have that connection, and then the fairgrounds and the Nashville Super Speedway. There's a lot of racing in this area. So it has to be cool for you to continue that connection with the city of Nashville.
Yeah, y'all can have Daryl. He's yours. I'm going to make that official. I think he's been there for 60-some years. So he loves Franklin, Tennessee. He loves that area. Obviously, he's very, very a lot of his history is woven into the Nashville area. Started racing at the Fairground Speedway. I was fortunate enough to race and win at the Speedway as well. I was able to get a couple of wins in the Nashville area. Nothing like my brother. He's a legend. But we certainly have a lot of smiles and laughs and play a little bit of golf up in Franklin. And it's just really fun to continue to be able to have a reason, a real good reason, a great reason to be in Nashville and to come back there and go up to Clarksville and watch the Cats and just enjoy some beers around town.
One of Michael Waltrip is with us. You mentioned, you know, the success that the Waltrips have had here. One of my favorite moments was going out to the Nashville Super Speedway in 2004. You were running the old Aaron's Dream Machine, and you talk about, I mean, look, sometimes, I guess, Michael, it's better to be lucky than good, but you get the win down the backstretch after a big wreck happens, and
I remember sitting with my dad screaming, like, let's go, Mikey, as you came out of turn four and got the win. But that had to be pretty cool. Do you still have that guitar?
I do have that guitar and some great photos. And, you know, you said lucky than good, but I don't think a normal man could have missed those five cars spinning in front of me. Like, it was just precision driving that was able to make my way through that mess. And when I came out the other side of the big crash and spin, when I opened my eyes, there was no one in front of me. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And, you know, with, like I said, the history that we have in that town and being able to get a guitar and win at the Super Speedway was really cool. And looking really, really looking forward to next weekend, being back there for NASCAR and having some fun around town.
Talking to Michael Waltrip today on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Michael, it's funny that, you know, your first race was a 1980 Cup race, 1985. What do you remember about that race? And I laugh because I was reading you had your first ever kind of confrontation with Dale Sr. in that race. But what do you remember about that day? Were you nervous? Were you anxious about your first Cup ride?
Well, it came out of nowhere because I was racing the Dash Series, and I'd really never run a big car before. The Dash Series were four-cylinder cars, and this was a Cup car. This is where Dale Earnhardt, Darrell Waltrip, and Richard Petty raced, and we put the deal together about 2 weeks before the Coke 600 in Charlotte, and we went out there and tested, and you know it I had speed. Like, I don't know why. Like, I'd never driven a big car, like I said, but I was fast enough to feel like I was going to be able to comfortably make the race, and I think I qualified inside the top 20. And I'm telling you, from that day on, it was like I can do this. I know I can race these guys. We were able to run most of the race. We had a transmission problem late, but what I remember most about it was being on the track with, you know, my brother Darrell for the first time, and
right.
with Richard Petty, who was a mentor of mine, and actually I lived with the King for a while, and then Bill Elliott, I think, was racing for $1 million that day, in some big bonus thing that Winston had at the time, and of course the Intimidator Dale Earnhardt was there, and it was weird, you know, we'd kind of become buddies despite the fact of our age difference and our backgrounds were much different. You know, I was Darrell's little brother showing up to be a race car driver, and somehow we became buddies, and it started a little bit before that race and, you know, continued on forever.
I know NASCAR has evolved in the 40 years, but isn't it cool that it's still the same premise every time you guys race? Finish one, avoid the wrecks, and get out there. I think what makes NASCAR, right? It makes it – we can do all this other stuff outside the track, but it's still about – on that day, winning that race and beating the other 42 people are out there, or how many people are out there on that any given day, any day you guys are racing?
Yeah, you get on the track and, you know, you might be friends with a couple of them, but they're all assholes when you start your engine. You know, you just want to go get the job done and beat them all and prove that you're better than them. And so, for 30 some years, I was blessed to be able to do what I love to do and win a few races along the way and just. Really enjoy still being a part of the NASCAR world. We'll do the truck broadcast from Nashville, and then we'll do the little pre-race stuff that I do around town. And I'm, you know, I still have a reason to go to the races. And after all these years, that's really cool.
It is. I was telling Chase before you came on, I'm a big fan of you pre-race, walking down, talking to the drivers.
The grid walk.
It's relaxing. It's fun. There's no pretense, and you have such a great relationship with Michael that they kind of open up to you in a different way. Besides, yeah, we look to have a good car today. I mean, it's personal, and it makes it really fun. And you do an excellent job on that every time I see you on the TV.
Well, I appreciate it. I call it rehearsed impromptu because, you know, I have to go make sure that. I got to make sure they're going to be standing there, and
right.
And there's been a time or two when I walk up and be like, where'd he go? He said, well, he had to go to the bathroom. So, you know, there's always pivots that have to happen with the grid walk, but I've been really, I've really enjoyed, you know, most of those guys are my friends. We've been hanging around for a while. And then when the new ones come along, make it to Cup for the big races on Sunday, I've generally covered them in the truck series prior to that. So, I know everybody pretty good, and it's really cool to see them relax and just enjoy a couple minutes before they strap in and get serious about that stuff.
Michael Waltrip is with us, longtime race car driver and with Fox Sports. I love the post that you had on Dale, what would have been Dale Sr.'s 75th birthday, of you and him, and he's got the Braves hat on and everything. I did not realize that your birthdays were a day apart. Did you guys have any parties back in the day that you can talk about?
We like to drink a few beers and enjoy a nice glass of wine with dinner. And nothing crazy. You know, we were dads and husbands first, and you know, we just had family time together and a lot of fun celebrating our birthdays together. And sometimes that was on the boat down in the Bahamas catching a fish or two. So just great memories of being Dale's friend and how all that how all those times that we had still make me smile today and even cry a little bit today.
I feel like in watching interviews and things you've done that, you know, obviously losing him was the hardest part, but racing for DEI and his team those years and the wins that you got was probably, is it fair to say, the most fun you've had in your career?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, just continuing on what Dale would have wanted and being a part of that team and being able to win again, if you will, after that day in Daytona, those memories certainly are my fondest during my racing career. And you know, I just think about a lot how confident I was starting that 2001 Daytona 500 because of Dale and our direction, our plan, and then to see it happen, and then unfortunately have it become one of the worst days of my life. That's all really challenging, but God has a plan, and I just keep on keeping on.
I've always wanted to ask you this, so I'm going to do it. When you went back in July, we obviously know what happens, that Dale Jr. had one hell of a race car, and he's leading. You have an equally as good race car, and all of a sudden there's Michael in second. In your mind, when you got to that point, were you just content pushing him, knowing how much that was going to mean, or did you think you had a look and think about taking the win yourself?
Well, there was a split second that when I kind of got there after coming from, I think I came from outside of the top 20 after a mistake on pit road and drove through the field and probably the best driving I've ever done in my life and got there. And there was a split second where I thought, you know, I can flare out to the top and definitely get beside him and maybe pass him if that guy behind me follows me. And, you know, everything happens at 200 miles an hour really quickly. And I processed all that and said, I'm going to push. He pushed me in February. I'm going to push him. And what a great celebration that was. And what a great memory it is.
Was there a little bit of you kind of look in the mirror and saw a three car back there that maybe nobody could see and thought better of it?
I just thought I did what I was supposed to do. Luckily that, like I said, I processed it quickly and made a decision, and I'm thankful today for that decision.
Michael sure. Waltrip is with us. Michael, what excites you about NASCAR in the year 2026?
Just the, you know, the competition, the every week they crank the engines and you don't know who's going to do what and what the story might be next. There isn't really I don't think there's been a theme yet about who is the guy to beat. You know, Denny Hamlin coming back to try to win the championship again, and seeing Chase Elliott get a couple of wins early in the season, and then this dominating performance that SVG put on them last Sunday. Just don't know what's next and who can step up and get a big win in the All-Star race this weekend for $1 million, or go to Nashville and go to Victory Lane. I just like the competition and all the uncertainty of where this thing's going to end at the end of the season, racing for a championship.
Yeah, isn't that the cool thing? Is like every time they get on the track, you don't know. I mean, it could be one of 28 guys who could get out there and win. I think that keeps it exciting for a lot of us to see, like, all right, who's got it this weekend? You never it's so unpredictable, I guess, what I'm going for, which to me still makes NASCAR very exciting.
Well, it is that. And, you know, there's certainly
drivers that are more popular than others, and one of them is Chase Elliott. And so when he wins, it makes a lot of people happy. But then obviously there's young guys that don't care how popular other people are. They want to contend and compete and win for their team and themselves and all that they've put into getting to the NASCAR level. So there's just, like I said, stories.
Michael Waltrip is with us. Michael, we appreciate your time today. We're excited that you're involved with the Cats and, you know, hope to see you here in our city soon, other than at the racetrack, of course. But thanks so much for doing this.
Well, I got to tell y'all, I really appreciate being on. I appreciate your being in the grandstands in 2004. I didn't know I talked to anybody that was there that day, but that made me smile. And so thank you for the smiles and the time. And I look forward to seeing you at a Cats game.
Well, and I'll tell you this, I went from being in the grandstands and now I'm the voice at the track. So I'll be calling all the action from inside the racetrack when everybody's there coming up in a few weeks. So it's kind of a full circle moment for me as well.
That'd be your voice booming above the crowd or the crowd and the cars and just telling the stories about what people are seeing.
That's it.
All right. Well, I look forward to hearing it and shaking your hand and having fun at the racetrack.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michael.
Yep. Y'all have a great day.
And Michael Waltrip is always fun. I agree with Big Joe that the grid walk is one of the best things on TV. So appreciate Michael for joining the show. And again, subscribe to the podcast. You can hear all this stuff just by searching for Chasing Checkers and also the YouTube channel, Chasing Checkers Radio, or at 102.5 The Game on YouTube as well. Coming up next, we'll get you set for All-Star Weekend at Dover. This is Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway and the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix on 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville Sports Network.
You're listening to Chasing Checkers on The Game Nashville Sports Network.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville Sports Network. Also, wherever you get your podcasts, on YouTube at Chasing Checkers Radio or at 102.5 The Game, please subscribe to all of that. It really will help us out and just continue to grow this show. My thanks to Michael Waltrip, Connor Zilich as well for joining the program. And it is time for All-Star Weekend at the Dover Motor Speedway, which is a unique venue. It hasn't been there before, but interesting to see it there as they will do this new All-Star format. But before we get to that, you know, some drivers that have been interesting to watch, Connor Zilich is one of them. And I think that, you know, while the win may not come this year, it very well could. He's a very talented guy. You know, Justin Marks, who is his car owner, talked after Watkins Glen and SVG won and, you know, the performance that Connor had. He talked about his growth and what he's expecting to see from him this year.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with, you know, going to see him right when he got out of the race car today and putting my arm around him, telling him he did a fantastic job. He carried that car, you know, really well today. And, you know, obviously very competitive. He beats himself up a little bit. But, you know, it's more about what I said in the competition meeting before the race started today. I said, you know, I don't want us to view this as, you know, one opportunity that we get every once in a while for us to do well. My goal is for us to start every Sunday the way we started this Sunday. And that's going to take a big effort. And it's going to take just focusing on, like, you just got to fail fast. You got to get over it fast. And you got to get to the race shop tomorrow just excited about Dover and getting right back to work. The good thing is, you know, we do get to race every single weekend. So you can get over things pretty quickly. But he's, you know, he had a great race at Texas, obviously was you know, pretty outstanding today. And he's a quick study. You know, we have a sea of talented young people out there in the Cars Tour and ARCA and, you know, the O'Reilly and Truck Series. And to me, when you look at all these talented people, it's like, what's the difference going to be? You know, what is it that makes someone stand out? And to me, it's rate of adaptability. It's purely just how fast you can learn, be in a new environment and learn it. And, you know, like Caden Honeycutt displayed that this weekend in spades, just, you know, absorb it, learn it, execute, you know, and go do it. And I feel like Connor, you know, we're 14 races in, whatever it is this year. I mean, he's already starting to figure out what it takes to drive these cars fast, and we're developing as a team. So you just got to keep him patient 1 week at a time. You know, just don't zoom out too far and look at the big picture. You know, great performance today. Another opportunity at Dover to just continue to learn. He's got, you know, 195 people behind him, along with Ross and SVG. So I've been in that position before, and sometimes you just put your arm around him and just go, man, that was a great job, but it's 1/38th of the season. We keep digging.
Well, and look, as I said after the interview with him, the maturity is there. And I feel like, you know, while he has that desire, he wants to win, you know, that's why you do this. The patience is there too. And I think that's going to bode well for him. Justin is a great teacher. He's been through it in his racing career, not to mention the teammates that he has as well. So I think Zilich is going to be continued. It's going to continue to just be fun to watch him grow and develop. And, you know, a guy that I will kind of relate this to is Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott's won a championship. He's won a lot of races already in his young career. But something he was asked about a couple of weeks ago or at Watkins Glen was that growth of the 9 team overall. They've already won 2 races this year, and he doesn't win early in the season a lot. And so I think you can kind of look at how you grow and get more patient as a driver, and it'll certainly lead to wins.
Yeah, I mean, it's we've been together a long time. You know, we have. And I think with that, you experience, you know, we've experienced a lot together. We've experienced a lot of good, fortunately. We've also experienced a lot of bad, unfortunately. But I think in all of that, you know, it certainly has helped shape us to be who we are today. And I think that's a team that has experienced enough to, you know, we should know better to, you know, just in how to handle things and how to handle bad days as well as how to handle good days, you know, if you're fortunate enough to have them. And, you know, it is really nice to, you know, have gotten another win and all those things. And I think, you know, last week for me was just a lot of pride and, you know, really proud of our whole group. You know, I thought we had, you know, one of the best weekends we've had in some time, you know, and certainly throughout the race and just the performance throughout the day and just how we executed the whole thing. Like our pit crew was doing an incredible job. I thought Alan called a good race. I felt like I managed things behind the wheel well. You know, I just felt like everything was clicking and, you know, it's like you always kind of have those beliefs of, or I have always had the belief of, you know, man, when we're clicking and we're all doing our jobs to the best of our ability, I feel like we can really be one of the very best groups out here. And when you have a day like that, it's like, man, yeah, you know, we can. And we just have to keep our heads down and keep working. And I still think there's room for improvement, which also I think is another positive from last weekend. I think we can be better and I think I can be better. And, you know, so it's just, you know, nice to check that box and have a couple wins this early. That is something new and something we haven't achieved. And anytime you can do something new, you know, 10 plus years into this deal, I think is really special. And to do it with a lot of the same guys is really cool too, that we've all kind of stuck with it and continue to keep our heads down together and just go to work.
And that's Chase Elliott, and he's right. And that, you know, and I think we all said that this point system was going to benefit him and be big for him, and it has to this point. And so, I mean, you look, he's third in the standings right now, and has those 2 wins, the only other multiple race winner this year other than Tyler Reddick. But it is All-Star weekend, so this is how it's all going to go down. There's going to be 275 lap segments with all 36 charter teams entered. It's not like it used to be where there was the open and then the feature and all that stuff. So everybody is entered and everybody will start 275 lap segments. But after the first segment, the top 26 will be inverted for segment 2. And then at the end of segment 2, they will take the top 26 drivers in segment 2 and they advance to the feature, to the last segment. Guys already locked in: Christopher Bell, Josh Berry, Ryan Blaney, Chase Briscoe, Kyle Busch, William Byron, Ross Chastain, Austin Cindric, Austin Dillon, Chase Elliott, Ty Gibbs, Denny Hamlin, Carson Hocifar, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Kyle Larson, Tyler Reddick, SVG, and Bubba Wallace. So those are the guys that are locked in. 6 more drivers can race their way in, and 1 can be voted in on the fan vote. We talked about it with Connor Zilich of, you know, the fans are already supporting him. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening. My pick for All-Star Weekend, I mean, how could I not go Tyler Reddick with what he's had? But I'm going to say Denny Hamlin. Say Denny Hamlin wins the All-Star race, which is $1 million on the line, so it could be a lot of fun. That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for joining. As always, again, you can subscribe to the podcast, Chasing Checkers, the YouTube page, Chasing Checkers Radio, 102.5 The Game, and then you can hear the show every Saturday morning at 11 after the weekend huddle, and also on race day on Sundays at 8 o'clock on 102.5 The Game in Nashville. My name is Chase McCabe. Thanks so much for joining us this week, and we'll talk to you next week on Chasing Checkers here on The Game Nashville Sports Network.